Hi, I'm Lee Sherman. I'm a writer for Terra Magazine, here with Michael Dalton and Molly Knott of the OSU College of Education. We're here to talk about their recent report on high school innovation in Oregon. To help schools reinvent themselves, OSU is collaborating with the Portland-based nonprofit organization Employers for Education Excellence, E3 for short. E3 is funding this research with a $100,000 grant from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Why don't you start by telling me a little bit about the purpose of your study and how you got started?
Sure. We started by exploring innovation in high schools. And a lot of people feel like there's difficulties in making innovations in high schools, and the high schools are the same now as they were 50, 100 years ago. And there are the barriers and challenges to high schools being innovative. And so the original purpose of the study was to look at these barriers and challenges that high schools were facing. But we soon shifted as we talked to schools about that. And so we shifted our frame from these obstacles into innovations. And we shifted the focus from why you can't to how you can be innovative within the current policy, financial, regulatory world. And so it was really a start from looking at challenges and barriers, and then became looking at innovation and change and how you, so the half full rather than the half empty version of this.
And I think part of that was being out and talking to innovative schools and realizing that the language of barriers just didn't really resonate with them. And so that was a critical part of sort of that reorientation in the study.
Yeah.
So what is it that enables some high schools to be innovative while others just can't seem to get to that point?
So let me sort of ask the question back. Could it be additional time? Could it be funds from special grants? Could it be the depth and variety of resources in a metropolitan area? Could be small size, allowing for personal relationships, some dynamic, charismatic sort of leader. Is it a district leadership model or board policy? So these are things that we sort of looked at and explored as we were thinking about this. And what we found is innovation, or the absence of innovation, turns out to be possible and manifest itself in all of these places. There are places that have grant funds that are innovative and not particularly innovative, and places in urban areas that are innovative and not, and small schools that are innovative and not. So it had to be something else. And so that's really what we began to pursue as we looked at this research, is what is this other thing that's happening, or the processes that are in place. And so as we explored this more, the high schools that had become innovative by creating what we end up calling a bigger here and a longer now. And so this innovation in Oregon high schools uses case studies to document the ways in which these high schools employ this new way of thinking to find innovative, creative ways to meet diverse and changing needs of students. The innovative high schools all use this new way of thinking to frame their problems and solutions around a broader conception of opportunities and resources that are available, as opposed to what they lacked. So again, it was about the innovations and not the challenges and barriers. Is around opportunities. Something's not working quite right, so this is an opportunity to do something different, not a barrier to stop and get stuck.
So could you be a little more specific and talk about what you mean by this new way of thinking?
Sure. I think the best way to describe the concepts of the big here and the long now and this new way of thinking is to excerpt several of the stories that we include in our study. So I'd start with Sio High School, which is a very small high school in a rural community in the Willamette Valley. And geographic isolation and a lack of growth have presented Sio School District with its fair share of challenges over the years. Shrinking resources, potential school closures, consistent cuts to an already very small staff. And in 2003, the district really had to consider whether it still possess the resources to support the existing high school diploma. The administrators began to seriously consider reducing the number of credits required for graduation. And the former Sio High School principal, now the superintendent there, posed a really I think, powerful question and said, I knew in my heart less wasn't the answer. So kind of what Michael said is, let's take this challenge and what are the opportunities that we can mine from this? So fast forward 3 years. In June of 2006, the first group of SIO High School students graduated from the Promoting Accelerated College Entry, or PACE, program. And the PACE students took their senior year courses at Lynn Benton or Chemeketa Community Colleges and received an advanced diploma with community college credits, or in some cases, graduated from high school with also an associate's degree. The high school's SIM passage rates have improved markedly. 80% of students pass the science SIM, up from 60%. And 78% meet the benchmark in writing, up from 48%. So instead of offering less, SIO High School has raised achievement, they've expanded student options, they've significantly increased the rigor and relevance of the high school senior year, and really strengthened student access to post-secondary education. So again, their former principal, Gary Temple, said, if I wanted to offer more but had no way to do it in my building, where could I go? And what emerged from this question is really a broader vision of the high school senior year and a challenge to the discrete linear relationship between high school and college. So by leveraging the instructional capacity of its two neighboring community colleges, SIO High School transformed a senior year environment characterized by scarcity into one of abundant opportunities for its students, and demonstrates this concept of creating a bigger here. Another example that I think is very powerful is David Douglas High School, complete opposite from SIO, very large suburban school. And in the 1990s, David Douglas made a pivotal decision about their high school program. They deliberately placed counselors and a highly structured guidance curriculum at the center of their reforms. This move was very radical at the time, and really still is, a departure from the traditional counseling structure that's on the periphery, crisis-oriented, largely reactive. Their former principal, John Harrington, said, if we were going to make truly substantive changes to the high school program and were serious about getting kids to college, then the counseling office and early long-term guidance needed to be the underpinning of our reform. David Douglas's guidance curriculum was redesigned from scratch to align with the key features of the high school's overall reform, and especially to place an emphasis on post-secondary connections. The curriculum starts early with eighth graders at the district's three feeder middle schools. The eighth grade transition is designed so that when freshmen arrive at David Douglas, students have already met individually with their counselor and have a four-year plan in place. Much like these intensive front-end transition activities for eighth graders and freshmen, the 12th grade counseling curriculum includes a variety of transition-oriented individual and group sessions with students and families. Counselors help students develop a personal file, including a resume and recommendation letters, and a personalized to-do list of transition activities. So before graduation, each senior participates in an individual exit interview with his or her counselor. The innovation at David Douglas High School has been sustained over the last 15 years, which is incredibly notable in the area of high school reform, and what they've accomplished is extremely impressive. While implementing these higher standards, experiencing tremendous population growth, and facing a poverty rate that hovers around 70%, the high school has dramatically increased its college attendance rate to 89%. The vast majority of their students earn a 3.0 grade point average or better. And I think the staff at the school really acknowledge it as a total paradigm shift. The current head of their counseling department says she gets asked a lot by counselors at other schools, well, with all the pressure around test scores, how do you justify all the time out of class for guidance or counseling activities? And she just turns it right around and says, how do you not?
So both of the examples you've given, SIO and David Douglas, are really interesting and innovative, but they're also very different kinds of innovations. Can you describe to me what they have in common?
Sure. Let me take a try at this. These two schools characterize what we call big here and long now thinkers. And so some of the characteristics of these big here thinkers and thinking about things in a different way are that they broaden the traditional conception of here. They include people, institutions, communities across all levels of the education system. There's a lot of talk about P20 education systems and P20 education reform. These two examples are good examples of that, of thinking bigger than just their school. They search for new ways of framing the issues, not as problems, but as opportunities, not as scarcities, but as abundance. And where is the abundance? They pursue a broader, more comprehensive way of addressing these issues, including the community and other institutions and the other resources. By contrast, more traditional small here thinkers focus sort of one box at a time. They think about a single district, a single school, a single subject, a single grade level, a single school year. They tend to think small and incremental chunks rather than as a continuous P20 system. Similarly, the long now thinkers extend and lengthen their conception of now. They think differently about now and make it longer. They conceptualize and implement programs as multi-year processes, not single-year processes, as multi-teachers, multi-school, multi-institution, not one at a time. They orient programs and resources around students' longitudinal progress through the education system. And by contrast, the short now thinkers, the more traditional ways of thinking, define now only in the present tense and short term, and frame education progress as one-year chunks. Or as one principal would say, we finish with them at the middle school, we throw them over the wall to the next level, to the high school. So the big here, long now thinkers think about them in a longer, more comprehensive way.
So what can high schools do with the information in your report? Are you suggesting that other high schools implement these same innovations?
Well, I think what I would suggest for high schools or really anyone that's interested in high school innovation is to start by looking at the stories that are included in the report. We do have a wide variety of innovations represented. We have high schools that are engaging other local schools to share students and offer a broader, more rigorous academic program. We have teachers engaging other teachers in coordinated and or interdisciplinary instruction. We have educational institutions and systems engaging their civic, business, family, and other communities in policy, programs, and practice. We have districts creating a portfolio of diverse high school options to meet the needs of a diverse student population. High schools improving alignment and coherence with middle schools and post-secondary institutions. We have stories of educators at the elementary and middle school levels using information about student learning at the high school level to go back and inform their teaching practice, and high schools using secondary level programs and opportunities to inspire changes in expectations among parents, teachers, and students at the earlier schooling level. So really a wide variety of different innovations presented. But to answer the second part of your question, the answer is no. We want to emphasize that we're not encouraging specific replication of these innovations, but instead to use these stories as a way of understanding the concepts of the big here and the long now and the five processes that Michael described, so that schools and communities can release their own self-organizing capacity for innovation based on the resources and opportunities available within their local context.
And then, of course, in order to implement the processes and think about a bigger here and a longer now certainly has implications for the leadership that's in the school and in the district and the state, and the policy implications for how to support and encourage innovations and the implementation of the processes, so that the work that the schools do is being supported and encouraged by the policies and leadership, not doing it in spite of existing barriers and challenges where we started this conversation.
Mm-hmm. And if schools want to get a hold of a copy of your report, they should be able to do that at the OSU College of Education website.
Yes, that's right.
Thanks a lot.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.